97.5 The Fanatic.
Good afternoon, everybody. Oh, beautiful Friday here in the Delaware Valley. Tyrone Johnson take you until 6 o'clock on 97.5 The Fanatic at NBC Sports Philadelphia. Tyler Zuli producing. Jen Scordo in her normal spot. Oh, we're going to have fun on this glorious Friday, let me tell you. And apparently it's going to be the best weather day of the weekend. It's not going to be bad, but this is going to be the best day. So if you're out and about having a good time, you can join us. We're going to have fun today. A lot to cover. But we're going to start, Brian Westbrook is going to join us from 4 to 5. We'll start with the word of the day, though. And the word of the day is one. One is the word of the day. And like always, we'll explain why. You know, I kept on saying over and over again that all of the Phillies' problems weren't Joe Girardi's fault. It wasn't just Joe Girardi. But 1 week ago today was the first time the Phillies played without him. And if you haven't noticed, they haven't lost since he's been gone. And they're hitting the cover off the ball. The guy who shouldn't have won the Cy Young last year, they knock him out of the game. They take care of business, sweep the Brewers. First the Angels, oh, that was a fluke. They go take care of the Brewers. Now it was like, oh, they're in a slump. They were 10 games over 500 and they swept them. Just went into their building with just no problems whatsoever. It doesn't get any better than that. And I'm ready to make a declarative statement. Forget all that. It wasn't all Joe Girardi's fault. It was all Joe Girardi's fault. It was 100% one human being's fault that the Phillies weren't better. And that was Joe Girardi and only Joe Girardi. I've seen enough. I've seen enough evidence. It was all him. And I know there's the cliche out there. You win as a team, you lose as a team. You spread the blame around. And I'm not saying that that cliche isn't true most of the time, but there's exceptions to every rule. There are certain times where you can wear white after Labor Day. And you might be saying, well, no, you can't. Oh, yeah? Well, what happens if someone gets married in October or November or December? The bride can't wear white. Oh, an exception. There's always exceptions to every rule, and this is one of them. Look at what's happened since the Phillies got rid of him. The starting pitching, which was good, has been even better. The bullpen, which was scuffling, they're not blowing any games now. The offense had been underachieving. Everybody's hitting. The young guys all look confident. Herrera looked like, once again, he didn't know how to play baseball. Now it looks like he knows how to play baseball. He never knew how to play baseball before. Everything is different. Nobody cared about the Phillies before. Everybody cares about the Phillies now. It was one, just one, yes, one person's fault, and that's Joe Girardi. And I'm ready to say it. It was him. He was the problem. Now, why? I don't know what his problem was, and I don't think he's a bad person. And I don't even necessarily know if he's a bad manager. But what I do know is he was a bad manager here, and he caused all of the problems here. And thank goodness that he's gone. So, and this weekend, we'll see. You already have people, oh, I'm not sold. And are they going to go undefeated the rest of the season? I doubt it. But guess what? They're looking so good, I can't say for sure it won't happen. I don't know. Where were you when the Phillies went on the longest winning streak in the history of the game of baseball? Maybe that's what we're talking about, Sue. I don't know. Could they win 30 in a row, 40 in a row, 50 in a row, 60, 70, 80, 90, 100. I don't know how many games in a row they can win, but what I can tell you is that it was but one person's fault that this organization was scuffling, and since they removed that one person, they now look like they're the best team in the world. So what changed? Only one thing changed. Did they fire a hitting coach? No. Pitching coach? No. Did the personnel change? No. They changed one thing. And instantly, everything about it changed. So now I want to talk about, before we go to Tyler, just some other times where it was but one person's fault that certain things happened. And yes, the cliche is normally true, but in the city of Philadelphia, we've had examples of which it was really just one person's fault. I'll just go not that far back to Game 6 against the Miami Heat. That was all James Harden's fault. James Harden took two shots in the second half. You know why they lost that game in the second half, pulling away after being down by one? James Harden. One. It was just one person's fault. It wasn't winners a team, losers a team. It was James Harden was making $1 trillion and decided not to shoot a basketball. One. Ben Simmons. He's the only reason they lost to the Hawks last year. It wasn't Doc Rivers, Joel Embiid, all the stuff. Other people aren't perfect. You know why they lost? Because Ben Simmons decided that shooting a basketball was optional. Dunking a basketball was optional. Aguilar. He cost the Eagles tons of games. Just him. Just him. Jalen Reagor has cost the Eagles games. Just him. So I'm starting to think that more and more we have to start with the win as a team, lose as a team. No. Sometimes it's as simple as finding the person at fault, isolating that person, and removing that person. And it's as simple as that. That's what happened with these Phillies. I've been trying to tell everybody that it's fun. I've been having fun. I know Jen's been having fun. Tyler, you're new on this program. Have you been having fun watching the Phillies since Joe Girardi's been gone?
A lot of fun watching baseball.
Oh, surprising. Were you having fun watching them before Joe Girardi?
Absolutely not.
So there was but one change. One change, and all of a sudden we go from, I hate, it's a chore watching this team. It's now work to watch this team, and suddenly it's a dream watching this team. All because of one move, of one person, and it changed everything. And it feels good. 610-632-0975. Speaking of 610, it is 610 Day, which means it's Delco Day.
Oh, looky there.
Yes, it is Delco Day. So, in addition to the sports thing, if anybody wants to shout out someone like Booney or John Kincaid, a Delco guy, Casey Boy, different people in the city, different people around the world that are Delco.
And proud.
Well, the floor is open for you. You can now, because no one represents their area like Delco people. Like, South Jersey people will pick their town. They don't just, like, there's some pride there. And don't even run, there's Philly pride. But Delco people.
They're strong.
All those 97 different towns that you'll drive through and what, like, boom, 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 welcome to leaving. Welcome. Boy, they hold, you would think it was all one town if you listen to Delco people. They're different. They sound different. Delco people. It is Delco Day here in the Delaware Valley. But, again, Tyler, Jen, I'm not always right. But isn't it possible that 100% of the problems with the Phillies were but one guy, and that one guy being Joe Girardi?
Yes.
I don't know if it's possible. I think it's they all stem from him. However, I don't know if he is, because here's the thing, right? The manager makes a decision, the bullpen decision, right? Corey Knebel comes in, three blown saves, or three outings in a row where he gives up runs. When does that transfer from Corey Knebel had a really bad weekend to this is the manager's fault, and you got to stop putting Corey Knebel in this particular spot?
It's perhaps you didn't say the right things and give the guy the right amount of confidence, and that's why he wasn't out there confident, because the manager was morgue-like. He was out there like a corpse out there and not giving the players any confidence.
I'm not going to disagree with you that he was... we thought a problem. I'm now under the understanding it's a major problem.
And I'm under the understanding it was the problem. Because the team looks glorious without him. I mean, I don't see a flaw. All of a sudden, this team looked like it had a lot of holes. All of a sudden, the defense that was costing them games, is it costing them any games now?
Not in this particular juncture.
Oh, well, of course it's not. No. Because he's not here. He's not here.
He's not making the plays.
What do you mean? He's out there putting guys in a bad spot.
That's a position.
Bindering
sure.
It. Let me check the binder. No feel. It's all his fault. It's all his fault.
I'm with you.
It's all his fault.
Not quite ready to go there. I think he's a major blame, and this is a vast improvement with Thompson, but it's a 26-man roster plus coaches.
Like 95% to blame?
Closer.
99%
to blame? Closer to 100 than 0, for sure.
But that just means 51.
Right.
Yeah, right.
Oh, here's tedious Tyler over there. Let's nitpick it. Let's find out. It was all his fault, man.
We got 162 games. That's like 0.6% of a season in each individual game. That's how we're picking it these
days. You sound like Girardi over there.
Yep, you sound a little like Joe. Are you related to Joe Girardi?
Yeah, we're actually cousins.
I knew you were cousins.
We hang out on the weekends. Yeah,
you had to be cousins. Absolutely. All right.
You have much more life than he does,
right.
Tyler.
610 632 1-800-919-3205. Is it possible that all of this was just Joe Girardi, and the turnaround is solely because Joe Girardi is here, is gone? And other times where the conventional wisdom was just not true, and it was just one person's fault, or you could just break a rule. Let's challenge some of the cliches. And the first one I'm challenging is, win as a team, lose as a team. No. If I throw a pass as a quarterback, offensive line blocks, running back picks up the blitz, wide receivers get open, I pick a receiver, I throw it like Jalen Hurts did to Rager to win the game, and Rager drops it. You know why we lost? Because of him. Then the next play, it happens again. That happened last season. At the end of a game, Jalen Hurts had time, made two pinpoint accurate passes, and Rager dropped them both. They didn't lose that game as a team. They lost that game because of him.
That we would be fine. We scored a ton of runs.
Yeah.
We just couldn't stop the other team from scoring. And, you know, I remember we were down here at Ruth Chris, me and Darren Dalton, mm-hmm. and we ran into Lee Thomas, was our general manager, and Jim Fregosi, and they had a list of left-handed pitchers that they were going to go after free agent-wise. And so they asked our opinion, and we struggled against Danny Jackson.
Yeah.
So we said, let's get him. Plus, he would fit in because he's...
A little crazy?
Well, no, a little.
I was being kind.
Yeah, well, you're a nice man. That should work for the Padres. But, and so they went out and got Danny, and then...
320-975. We'll have Fan Fest tickets to give away. Excited about that. And we're going to talk about, later on, this Britney Spears wedding thing. We talked about it yesterday. Now somebody tried to crash it. The ex-husband, named Jason Alexander, the guy she was married to for like 55 hours.
That was the first husband, right?
Second husband.
That was the second one.
I believe so.
I can't remember. Because that was the Vegas thing. They got married in Vegas real quick.
Yeah, that was 04. And then what year did she marry Federline?
I don't know.
Well, it was one of the husbands.
Oh, yeah, one of them.
He shows up. Forget it. We're not talking about Britney Spears' wedding today. No. Don't worry. It's only, the question is, I want to know from everybody, whether you're married already, in the process of getting married, or one day want to get married. What would you do if a person tried to disrupt your wedding ceremony? I'm not talking about a wedding crasher that comes in and drinks the booze that you already paid for, and it was an open bar, so what? I'm not talking about that. That is a misdemeanor. Oh, it was Alexander the First, then Federline. So it was the first husband. It just didn't last very long. What would you do if a person showed up to your wedding and tried to disrupt your wedding ceremony? That's one thing that has not changed over the years. Weddings are still important. Whether it's the 40s, all the way to now, Tyler, you most recently of us have gotten married. Late last year.
Yeah, 6 months ago.
There you go, yeah. 6 months ago. So put it in your mind. We'll talk about it.
Okay.
If someone tried to disrupt your wonderful ceremony, and I'm not talking about what we should do. What we should do is have the proper authorities, remove the person, it's trespassing. But we know this is real life. Emotions are high on a wedding day. That's not what's going to happen. Far worse is going to happen to that person if we're doing the right thing. What would you do? And it's weddings June. More weddings are in June than any other month.
I'm going to one tomorrow.
You see that? So tomorrow, Jim, the wedding you're going to, some fool decides that they want to blitz the ceremony.
Ooh.
Like this fool tried to do just yesterday. What do you do to a human being that has the temerity and unmitigated gall to try to do something like that? 610-632-0975. Tyrone Johnson here with you until 6 on 97.5 The Fanatic and NBC Sports Philadelphia.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. text Jason to 45911, and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic, NBC Sports, Philadelphia. Tyrone Johnson here till 6. 610-632-0975. 4 o'clock hour brought to you by Landis Block, your one-stop shop to create a jaw-dropping outdoor paradise. Online at LandisBC.com. And they also bring us our guest for the 4 o'clock hour, Mr. Brian Westbrook. How are you today, Brian?
Good afternoon, Tom. I'm doing well, my friend. How are you?
Can't complain, man. Can't complain, Brian. I got to ask you something. You're a married man.
Uh-huh.
And we'll get to the other sports stuff in just 1 second. But Britney Spears got married yesterday, and her first husband tried to break up the ceremony. he went on Instagram Live and was telling the world, and then all of a sudden, apparently the feed went dead because the security tackled him, and then the cops led him away.
Uh-huh.
But separate from that, go back to your wedding day and other weddings you've been to. What the heck do you do if somebody actually tries to disrupt your wedding ceremony?
Two things. So, I mean, it depends just a little bit. Are they like an ex trying to stop the ceremony, or is it someone? I mean, because if it's someone famous, like let's say Beyonce wants to come into the wedding, then we got a different conversation.
No. Not just come to watch the wedding. It's beyond, even if it was Beyonce, Beyonce's coming to stop the wedding. This guy was there to stop the wedding.
Well, no. Beyonce comes to try to stop the wedding. I at least have to hear her out. She may say something that, you know, may make everyone happy there. Like, hey, I want to marry Brian Westbrook.
And Brian! Then,
you know, I have to have a Okay. Sorry, Jen. I didn't know you were I'm going down the wrong road. No. Listen, if someone comes to try to stop this wedding that I paid a bunch of money for, that person is going to have a problem on their hands. And probably is going to come from my friends, most likely my family, way before I could get my hands on that person. Everyone else in the wedding probably going to have something really harsh to say to that person, of course.
Yeah, and I was thinking, and that person's safety might end up being in jeopardy. Absolutely would just have to be. And I looked it up online. Just now. Now, apparently, according to online, two things happened that I didn't realize because I was just looking up rare occurrences. Apparently, 12 babies per year are handed to parents that aren't theirs.
Oh.
A lot of babies are born in a year, I'm saying, but 12, okay. That happens.
Okay.
And then the other thing is, according to this, this was a common number with 12. Apparently, in America, 12 times a month in June, July, August, and September, does someone try to stop a wedding ceremony? 12 times per month. Now, that's not a lot, but that's not a little either. I feel like that you could possibly be at a wedding where that might happen.
I'm just wondering, what can you say? What do you feel, though, as though you're going to say at that moment that's going to change that person's mind? Let's say it was an ex.
Mm-hmm.
And let's say you feel like that person, your woman, that woman that's getting married was the love of your life. What do you think showing up at her wedding with her new fiance, boyfriend, whatever it is in the situation, and they're standing at the altar, and I'm walking up, and what do you think that I'm going to be able to say at that point that's going to change her mind that I haven't said already in the last however long since we broke up? I mean, these people are not, they're not thinking with their whole mind. I can tell you that.
So, no, they absolutely are. Now, but switching back over to the sports, obviously, Brian, I talked to you the day after Joe Girardi was let go. Since then, they haven't lost a single game. They look different. They feel different. That day, you talked about the confidence and different things that can happen with a manager or a coach that could affect the team. Because obviously, we know the coaches and the managers don't play for the players, but they absolutely do make a difference. They haven't won, and a lot of the players have gone out of their way talking about how much fun they're having now. Yep. And they were saying it after, like, one victory. It wasn't like now they're having fun that they're on a winning streak. Instantly, they said that everything felt lighter and more fun. You mentioned, talked about it a little bit more. You've been on winning streaks before. What's the feeling like as a player when everything's going well versus when everything's going bad?
Well, when everything's going well, it seems like if you're playing baseball, you can't miss. I mean, you're gonna hit 4 out of 10. You know, just things are just going well. You're batting better. Things just feel much more natural. You're getting to the park without any traffic. I mean, it's just crazy how things just start happening for you when things are going right, you know, hey, oh my goodness, you wake up and there's cereal right there and the milk is already there. You got a full tank of gas. I mean, just things are just going right. And the feeling in the locker room is the same. It's lighthearted. We're enjoying each other. There's no beef between teammates. All the pettiness is gone. And sometimes it takes a coach's dismissal to be able to get that feeling back. And sometimes the coach can be so heavy on top of you and it becomes dislike between the players and the coach. You can't wait to get to the locker room to start talking about the coach. When those types of things happen, the coach has to go. And when the coach goes, it's almost like that all the clouds have been lifted. And now you can see the sun. You can see clearly now that the rain is gone. Those types of things. That's the feeling that you have inside that locker room, as if the bad person is out of your life and now only good things can happen for you. And what happens inside the locker room after that is that when you get that feeling inside that locker room, it's easily transferred onto the field. Only one good thing has to happen good to you in the field, and then everyone on the field starts to rally around that. And it sounds that like that's exactly what has happened for the Phillies. And it's just great to see that now they are enjoying the game. When you hear players start talking about enjoying the game again, that means they felt like the game, like going to their job was actually work, right? And now, mm-hmm. Listen, when I went to play football, it was me going to play football. And, of course, that was my job. But because I love the game, because it's something that I wanted to do, I've been working all my life to be able to do it. It wasn't necessarily work. It's just what I do, right? But when it's work, it's just the grind. It's the two-a-days. It's the staying at Lehigh. That's work. I don't want to go to work every day. I want to go to some place that I enjoy, doing something I enjoy doing with the people that I enjoy being around. That's what the guys in the Philly locker room are saying at this point. They enjoy the sport again. It's fun again. And it really comes down to the coach, obviously. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah, and that's funny you say that. The word of the day for me is one, because nothing else has changed. They haven't changed personnel. They didn't get rid of other coaches in the meantime. They haven't changed anything. The only change from what they were doing before to now was Joe Girardi's change. I feel like it literally, it was like it was him. It was him who was causing the atmosphere that caused those guys to not play well. And the moment he left, they started playing well. And to your point, it just seems like one move, just literally one thing. Mm-hmm. Was the whole change. Now, I've been saying that, and Jim's been saying that, but our boy Tyler over here says it's all these other factors, but none of the other factors, Brian, have changed. Literally, the only thing that's changed is they changed the manager. And instantly they go from, they hadn't put together 3 or 4 wins straight the whole year, boom, now they've won every single game since he's left.
Yeah, and the other thing, and maybe this is what Tyler's thinking about, is that now they're winning because he's not there. And, you know, there's a theory behind that, what Tyler is saying, that this is not a long-lived, something that you can do continuously, because you just decided that old person isn't there. And at some point, you'll go back to your old ways. What has to happen here for the Phillies is they have to be able to capture this moment, of course, win some games, but capture that thing that has been changed, that is different for them. And then that's what you got to replay in your mind, replay in that locker room, as the season continues to go on. We talked about it the other day. What is it, top five, one of the highest, rosters
fourth highest payroll in baseball.
Fourth highest. So I think that just tells you that they have some talent on the team, or they just severely overpaid pay for guys. I have to believe that they have some talent on their roster. Now those guys got to play. Now you got to go out there and just be natural and play the game the way that you played for the last 20 years of your life. If you do that, then you'll get back to that fun, get back to that enjoyment again. And, of course, you'll win some baseball games. And obviously, that's what they've done over the last week of baseball or so.
Yeah, and I want to ask you about something else, Brian, as a pro athlete. 610-632-0975, if you want to join us and Brian as well. I want to talk about a thing. You are a running back, a very good running back. But there's sometimes on a play, the coach calls the right play, the line blocks it and opens up the hole. And I'm not saying you specifically, but the running back runs the wrong hole. And the reason the play didn't work was because of that one guy. Yep. It just happens sometimes. I talked about how last season they didn't play well against the Giants at all. But late in the game, they had a chance to win. Jalen Hurts hit Jalen Reagor in the hands 2 consecutive plays for touchdowns late in the game to win the game. He dropped both of them. What is it like? He just did. I'm just giving it. It just happened. What is it like for you or for others, because you've been in these locker rooms where when it came down to it, it was one guy's fault? I know that you guys win as a team, loses a team. But when you boil it down, it was one guy's fault. How do you look at the guy who let you down? And then how do you look at yourself if you're the one who let the team down?
Well, yeah. So I've certainly been in situations where it's the end of the game. The coach puts the ball in my hands because he trusts me with the ball, and I put the ball on the ground. I mean, I think I've had maybe, I don't know, 9 career fumbles in my career, maybe a little bit more, maybe 12 in my 9 years playing. And so it didn't happen often, but there were times, I remember a game or two where the game was lost because of me, because I put the ball on the ground, and that's not okay. And, you know, so what happens in a locker room, usually, especially good locker rooms, is they're not going to – this is player to player. They're not going to jump on your back. They're not going to jump on you while you're down. They're not going to do that. It's not going to be finger pointing in that type of way. Usually in a good locker room, they're going to say, hey, man, pick your head up. We'll go get them next time. Everybody makes mistakes. Because in a good locker room, you understand today it might be me. Tomorrow it might be you. And just as hard as you get on me today, I'm going to have to come back at you tomorrow. So that's what happens in a good locker room. What happens in a bad locker room, that's the finger pointing. That's the you know, you ain't never did anything good for us. You're not anything, and we shouldn't have you on the team type of thing. Now, I think what you're saying, you're asking about is the coach. You know, is the coach. Now when it's the coach's fault, now you got 53 guys that understand it, and we're all pointing the finger at the coach, right? So we're all willing to point at the coach. We may not come public with it, but when we're in that locker room having those types of conversations, we're certainly willing to point at the coach and say, hey, man, it's his fault. We all did our thing. We conditioned. We did everything we were supposed to do at practice. We worked our butts off. We were ready and prepared in the game. And then offensively, you run the ball 6 times instead of and throw the ball 50 times. That's a coaching problem. Not because we weren't blocking well and not because you weren't running well. You made a decision. So I think as a team, we all have no problem pointing the finger at the coach. But usually between player to player in good locker rooms, we always have each other's back, especially the teams that I played on.
Now, that makes a lot of sense. Now, one last thing before we get to the phones, I want to ask you about. The Eagles have finished OTAs, and they say Jalen Hurts looks good. A lot of things are positive. Really, the one question a lot of people have is a coach, and that's Gannon. Not because because most people don't think he was very good last year, despite what the numbers look like. He has better personnel. All right, you're an expert on this. We won't see them again. They decided them and the Bengals are the only two teams that decided they're doing OTAs, no mandatory minicamp. We'll see you at a training camp. They claim that both teams used they have analytics that claim that those practices that you have in those offseason, those organized practices, lead to injuries. They decide to bypass those. So just two teams decided to do it. They claim they have data to back it up, and therefore that's what they decided. So literally they're done now. The next time we'll see them on the practice field will be the 27th of July. 26th they report. 27th is the first full practice for the team. If the season starts, Hurts does look better. The offense is churning. And the defense looks the same as it does last year. Could that possibly be a scenario where the fingers end up being pointed at Gannon because everyone else took care of their business?
Absolutely. I mean, I think that there was a lot of fingers pointing at Gannon last year solely because of the way that he played his defense. And there were times where teams just took advantage of the style of defense that he coached and that he put out there on the field and the fact that he didn't change it up. I mean, there were times where you're saying, hey, man, they're eating this up versus the zone, Tom Brady. And maybe you should just try to man-to-man. I mean, just try anything different from what you are doing. Whatever you want to do, just do something different than that. And so, yeah, you have better players, defensive line, linebacker level, cornerback level. You got better players. You got some different guys in the safety position that you may have to cover up for. But if you go into each game with this, you know, I just keep everything in front of me. You know, we just want to slow a team down. We don't want them to race up and down the field. We just want to slow things down. To me, it makes it harder for your team to play that style of defense. And quite honestly, if they start getting beat up the way that you talked about, now you absolutely have to point the finger at Jonathan Gannon and say, hey, man, this ain't working. You need to try something different. And more importantly, now you have some tools, especially on the outside, that can handle that type of thing. You know, I talked to Darius Slay. Darius Slay wants to play man-to-man. He wants to play man-to-man, get in your face, and run with a receiver. Now Bradbury, he may want to play secondary as far as a zone type of coverage. That's what he's really, really good at. That may be what he wants to do. But if you're a defensive coordinator, you have all offseason to think about ways to get Slay man to man and Bradbury on the other side zoned up. You have so many different ways to do that. That's your job. You have to figure these things out, and you also got to figure out a way to apply pressure, not just with your defensive line, no matter how good they may be this season. And so, you know, listen, there's a lot of weapons on that side of the ball. If he can't find a way to take care of them and also find a way to pressure the quarterback, create some turnovers, and if he just continues to give up yards, the bend but don't break type of thing, then of course we're going to point the finger at him and say, hey, we got to do something different.
Absolutely. Adam in Pottstown, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic with Brian Westbrook.
Hello.
What's going on, Adam? You're on the air.
Oh, yeah. You're talking about the 60-cent brownie bill.
Well, what are you saying?
They're not getting them.
Right, but what are you basing that on?
He's going to Miami.
Do you have, did that get announced, or are you just saying that?
I'm predicting it, and it will be, and
okay, so what's Miami going to give up to get him?
Tyler Herro.
No, the money doesn't work. That can't happen.
Not enough.
That literally can't happen. Like, it's not allowed to happen.
Oh, you don't think so?
No. It's not about a think. I'm saying it's literally can't happen. You have a max player and a guy on a rookie contract. You can't trade them one for one. Like, you can't. They're both cap teams.
Yeah, I'm listening to idiot Steven Smith.
Yeah, well, I'm sure Stephen A. mentioned other players in the trade if Stephen A. said it.
Yeah, I wasn't sure, but I don't think they're going to get him.
All right. Well, anyway, Brian, the reason he brought it up, was because he was talking to Taylor Rooks from TNT and Bleacher Report, and they asked about staying in Washington, and he says, "I haven't decided. I just want to be in a place where I can win." Completely noncommittal to being in Washington, and there have been rumors for months now, to be honest with you, about a possible link with him here in Philadelphia. And that's why he asked about it. The Miami link has not been out there in full force yet, partially because they actually do have a guy in Jimmy Butler who has the ball quite a bit, who might not complement Beal's style quite as well.
Yeah, I mean, listen, Bradley Beal, when you talk about a guy that can just score the ball, it makes a lot of sense. Him coming here, you know, the question that you got to ask, especially here in Philadelphia, does the style of play that we have match what Bradley Beal does very well? I mean, we know that he can score. We know those different types of things. Will the style of play, especially with Harden on the roster, will that match up in Embiid? Will that match up with what Bradley Beal does well? I mean, yeah. I think you put three really good players on the floor, they kind of figure it out. But, of course, we understand what styles are. We see it up there. We saw it in Brooklyn. Styles just didn't necessarily match. They couldn't win, things like that. We even see it in the finals. There are styles that work together. The question is going to be James Harden dribbling a bunch, you know, maybe getting some assists, Joel Embiid doing this thing, being an MVP type of candidate, and Bradley Beal. Do those three styles fit enough that we can go on the type of run and win in the second round, that get to the third round, those types of things. And we will certainly get better because he's a much better player than what we have currently. But the question is, do those styles work together?
Right.
And maybe we might not know that until they are potentially together.
Yeah, the one thing he can do and he's comfortable doing is catching and shooting.
Catch and shoot.
He can catch and shoot. And Embiid and Harden, even Harden, with all the dribbling, does create really good catch and shoot opportunities. Mm-hmm. But he doesn't only catch and shoot. And the question is, would he be okay with getting the same number of shots but having a lesser role because he wouldn't be creating the shots? Because when he's off the floor in that scenario, Maxey would then have the ball. I mean, when Harden's off the floor, Maxey would have the ball quite a bit as well. So it would absolutely, the role thing would have to fit. Here's the scenario that was thought about, though. A situation where he can opt out of his contract. So he can basically tell Washington, listen, I either opt out and I leave here for you get nothing back, or you send me where I want to go, and then I'll go to that next team and sign a new contract. He has a tremendous amount of leverage right now. So if he wanted to go to the Sixers or Miami or anywhere else for that matter, he has the ability to pretty much make that happen because he has full control over it. So the scenario would be, I want to go to the Sixers. I don't want to go anywhere else. Okay, now you have to take Tobias Harris or picks or whatever it might be back. You don't get Maxey because it's either that or you get absolutely nothing. And that's the scenario that has been out there. And at least his quote opens up the door for that to be a possibility when before he was at least claiming he wanted to be with Washington.
I feel like we haven't got a big, I mean, obviously James Harden is a big name. He was not a free agent, though. But we haven't got a big name free agent in a long time, it feels like, that I could think of. And, you know, I don't know what the reason is. I just hope that having an MVP candidate in Embiid, hopefully a healthy James Harden, you know, will entice guys that want to come here to play. Doc Rivers will entice guys that want to come to Philadelphia and try to win. That has to be the hope for everyone in the city, including Doc. Listen, what do we have to do to get you here? You know, we'll build things out for you and make you fit. What do we need to do to get you here, make you want to come here? That's the big thing we got to figure out for free agency and really all sports.
Yeah, you're absolutely right about that. 610-632-0975. I know we're going to talk about some Phillies on the other side. We're going to talk about the Deshaun Watson situation, Brian, because as we kind of thought it was as bad as it could be, and this week it got even worse, so I want to ask you about that. And how do you handle this if you're the team that paid him a bunch of money? And how do you handle that in the locker room where your leader might not be available to be your leader? And more and more and more stuff keeps coming out, literally by the dozens. So we'll talk about that and update our Twitter poll on the other side here. 610-632-0975. We'll be back here on 97.5 The Fanatic and NBC Sports Philadelphia.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.